Please rise. Text for our meditation today is recorded in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So far the text. Christ Jesus, our coming Savior King, your Christian friends, the story is told of a couple, a husband and wife, who were on a leisurely walk in the neighborhood close by to where they lived, week after Thanksgiving. And as they ambulated down the sidewalk, they noticed a homeowner putting up a holiday display in his front yard. Half hour or so later, the same couple, as they made their way back home, saw the completed display, a nativity scene, a lighted cross, and a banner with the message spotlighted prominently, "A Savior is born for you, Christ the Lord." The man remarked to his wife, "Can you beat that? Christians living in our HOA community barging in on Christmas." He was of the opinion that arranging decor with a Christ-centered theme was an intrusion on the holiday season. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? And more than that, more than a little sad, when we notice in our society that Christmas's true meaning has been lost sight of for the most part. In effect, people accusing Jesus of barging in on his own birthday. We Christians, on our part, are determined to retain the essence of Christmas, the ornamentations that we'll be decking the halls with later, in addition to the ones that are already here, are going to be a symbol and a reminder of Christmas's true essence. And we pray, don't we, that more and more people would barge in on Christmas in this way, and that more and more families would find comfort and hope in the news of God's Son descending from heaven to bestow upon us his gifts of life and light. So we enter the new church year today with that confidence that our God will indeed continue to bless us with these blessings in Christ, and that is our theme for the sermon today, that God is giving to us a new year of grace. And our text that I just shared consists of the opening words of St. Paul from his first epistle to the Corinthians, and you probably noticed how a feature of his intro, typical of all of Paul's letters, he leads it off with that familiar prayer, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That word grace, charis in the Greek, short, five letters, but it has meaning that we could spend a long time talking about. I could preach an hour or more. I promise I won't, because we do want to get our decorations up later, right? But we do want to ponder the meaning of that word grace for a few minutes. It can mean different things, can it, in the English language. If you looked up that word in Webster, the dictionary, you'd find a number of definitions, like when a talented athlete competes in a swimming event in the Olympics, he or she might be described as moving through the water with effortless grace. Person who conducts himself or herself in an attractively polite manner in a group setting towards other people is said to possess social grace. And you know that when we offer a prayer before a meal, we oftentimes refer to that as saying grace. The Bible word grace, charis, means something very different, something uniquely wonderful. It refers, simply put, to the undeserved kindness God has shown towards us in Christ. And in the new church year, that's what the Lord is going to continue to do for us, pour out upon us the blessings of His grace, cause the days of our year to be chocked full of pardon for our sins, of His compassionate love, and of His favor and goodwill, purely out of His fatherly divine goodness, without any merit that we have, for Jesus' sake. Bible word grace, charis, again, very, very beautiful, very, very different, very, very special. That's the message that we want to lend our ears to faithfully in the new church year. We want to make joyful use of all the opportunities the Lord affords us for hearing about His grace to us in Christ. We want to make faithful and joyful use of the tool that the Lord promises to use to nurture us in the faith. That tool is sometimes referred to as the means of grace, which is the gospel and the word and the sacraments. You can think of word and sacrament as an aqueduct or a pipeline that the Holy Spirit is going to use to channel God's gospel refreshment to your soul, causing it to flow to you in an endlessly gushing stream, supplying you with the spiritual hydration that you need as you sojourn in this world, this bone-dry desert of the world that we live in, which is cursed by sin, with all of its problems and challenges caused by sin, and the spiritual booby traps, you might think of them as the IEDs that Satan stealthily plants to hurt and destroy us. That's why, friends, we want to faithfully hear the gospel faithfully at home in our private devotions, and here at God's house every Sunday, as often as we are able to, in company with our fellow sojourners. Somebody were to ask, where does the Bible say that the Bible uses, or that God uses the Bible, the gospel and the word and the sacraments to build up and to keep our souls hydrated and refreshed? So many verses, but I'd like to share a few of them. Familiar Romans verse, probably many of you know that by heart. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. James writes, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Jesus' invitation comes to mind in Matthew where he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, spiritual rest and refreshment through the word. The psalmist says, another verse you probably know by heart, many of you, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. It's like the GPS device God uses to direct us safely through our lives in this world all the way to his side in heaven. And when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he said that night, take, eat, this is my body, drink of it all of you, this is my blood given for you, poured out for many for the forgiveness, there's that rest, that refreshment again the Lord offers, for the forgiveness of our sins. And one other I might share with you, also Jesus told his disciples in the upper room that night before he died, I am the vine, you are the branches, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, because apart from me, you're going to get shriveled up spiritually. You can do nothing but attached to the vine, to his word. We are provided with the spiritual sap and energy that we need. So, friends, in the new church year that's just begun, take comfort in these promises of God, that as often as you read your Bible and as often as you study it, and each time you come as a guest to partake of the Lord's Supper, the Savior is going to come to you to bless you, always not to condemn, not to judge, but in a gentle way to forgive you for your sins so that you might be kept as his child and eventually enjoy with him heaven's joy. And we also want to faithfully use God's gifts of grace in the new year. Notice how St. Paul in the intro to the Corinthian Christians goes on to say, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ, that in every way you were enriched in him, that is in Christ, in all speech and in all knowledge. Question might be asked, what were these gifts specifically, exactly, that Paul says God had gifted the Corinthian believers with? By speech, don't think here of the gift of gab. Some people are blessed with that, the being outgoing and able to communicate with others readily. That's a gift, certainly, of God. But that's not what Paul was thinking about here. He was thinking of a spiritual gift that God bestowed on these Christ believers of being able to speak to each other about the glorious things God had done for them in Christ, and of being able to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs when they gathered for public worship, and of being able to speak to communicate with others outside their circle of fellowship the good news of the gospel. And similarly, by the gift of knowledge, don't think just like the gift of intelligence, of having a well-rounded education in secular subjects. Some people are blessed that way too, and that's a good blessing of God. But here, Paul's referring to the very special knowledge that every child of God possesses, a knowledge of the saving truth of the gospel in Christ, of being made wise for salvation through faith in Christ. These are the gifts, friends, that we want to faithfully use in the new year. We want to take advantage of opportunities the Lord gives to encourage one another, to speak to one another, and to support one another in our mutual faith, and to pass along these gifts to people who do not yet possess them, so that they too may joyfully declare and confess, as all of you can say, what are the things that you know, the knowledge that God has given you, things you know? I know in whom I've believed, and that he's able to keep what I've entrusted to him for that day when the Lord returns. You know that. He's going to keep you. I know that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in the creation will be able to separate you from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus, your Lord. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at last on the earth, and in my flesh I will see God. I myself, my eyes shall behold, and not another. Another thing that Paul writes in another of his letters, you also know, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. It's pretty special knowledge, isn't it, that the Lord God has graciously given to you, wouldn't you say? It leads us into the last part of the sermon. Also, God gives us a new year of grace, love undeserved, in which we eagerly await his coming, in which we will be sweeping, as it were, the sky with the radar of our faith, anticipating the Lord's return. Notice how Paul also calls attention to that thought in our text when he says, you're not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Probably heard the saying, there's a reason for the season, with reference to Christmas. The whole purpose of Christmas, as we mentioned at the beginning, is to celebrate and rejoice in that happening in Bethlehem of long ago, God sending us a Savior from death, hell, and sin, which Adam's transgression had wrapped us in. There's also a reason for the season of Advent. You may have noticed how scripture readings during Advent and also the hymns that we sing, many of them during Advent, remind us both of our being ready to receive Jesus at Christmas with hearts of faith and for his second coming at the end, similar to the last Sundays of the Christian church year. And be confident, friends, that God's going to help you to do just that during Advent and all through the church year, just as Paul expressed his confidence that the Lord was going to do that for the Corinthian believers. He's going to prepare you for a true observance of that day when Jesus came in blessing, all our ills redressing, came in likeness lowly, Son of God most holy at Christmas, and then bore the cross to save us, hope and freedom gave us. He'll use his word to gently lead you, with himself to feed you, precious food from heaven, pledge of peace here given, manna that will nourish your soul that it may flourish. I can allow you to be hoodwinked by Satan into believing that this world's going to go on forever, or to live your life in a way that it makes you, it seem as though you believe that you're going to live forever here. But he'll use his word to keep your faith lamp flaming up brightly, your thoughts heavenward. And use his word then also to keep you alert for the hour when with mighty power he will come in splendor and will judgment render with his faithful, sharing joy beyond comparing. When Jesus is going to do some barging in to our world at the last, to take his church home. So rejoice in that as you begin the Christian church year, and make that your joyful prayer as you enter with confidence another year in which will be filled with the blessings of God's grace. Amen. The peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, to guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus. unto life everlasting. Amen.
Uphold with your spirit free.